Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. We know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk.
Proverbs 24, verse number 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for what we've already experienced tonight, to sing, to give, to fellowship, to be a part of missions. We thank you for the Keck family. And Lord, I pray that you would bless Brother and Mrs. Keck as they return to the mission field. Give them grace and power from thy Holy Spirit. Bless their children, their grandchildren. Thank you for this entire family that serves you and loves you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to stand faithfully here at home as they minister in Papua New Guinea. Now we ask you to bless our Bible study time tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Many years ago, my wife began taking photographs of our children and some different family memories and placing those photographs along the hallway going down to the children's bedrooms. And now, after nearly 30 years of marriage, you step back and you look at that hallway, and really, it's a portrait of the family history. It's a portrait that reminds us in a collage form of the blessings of God and the memories of the family. And how many of you recognize tonight that wherever you are in your family life, all of us really are painting a family portrait? All of us are establishing a memory. We're establishing a legacy, if you will, concerning the matter of our family life. And in the wisdom of God and following the Word of God, I believe it is possible for every family to paint a beautiful portrait of grace, something that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to learn from the Word of God some basic principles for creating a portrait for our family life that would bring honor and glory to the Lord, something that is beautiful to behold. Notice, if you would, as we come to the text tonight, beginning in verse 1, the Bible begins, as many proverbs do, with an admonition, a warning. And the Bible says, "Be not thou envious against evil men." Let us begin tonight with the warning for Christian homes. We begin with a warning for Christians, for the people of God. And the first aspect of this warning is that we are warned against the evil men of this world. The Bible says, be not envious of these evil men. You know, the fact of the matter is that sometimes you may see a man at work, you may see someone on television that seems to have success, or they seem to have the blessings of this world. But the reality is, the real blessedness of life is when there is love at home. When there is love between mom and dad. When there is love between mom and dad and the children. And I think sometimes in this materialistic society, we may look at someone who has something or someone who has attained a certain accomplishment, and we might think, wow, that's a successful person. They've got it all together. But you know, I have had the privilege of knowing many different people from many different walks of life. And I can tell you that sometimes those that we might envy are some of the loneliest. And I'll tell you what, there are people tonight who live in our country who have homes that Brother and Mrs. Keck could take and build an entire college from the value of that home. But those people many times living with such blessedness materially would be so thankful to have children like Brother and Mrs. Keck have. They would be honored. They would be so thankful if they had a family that was happy. If they had children that expressed their love to their mother and father. And so the Bible begins by challenging us to have the right priorities. May we never sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. So many people sacrifice their future on the altar of the now and now. But the Bible says, do not be envious of these men. Psalm 37 and verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the herb. I think of our teenagers tonight, and I was looking at one of the lessons that my son, Brother Larry Chappell, is teaching tonight in one of the other rooms, challenging the teenagers about their testimony and keeping and maintaining a testimony for God. And thank God that they're being reminded of what matters most. Proverbs 23 and verse 17 says, let not thine heart envy sinners, be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Proverbs 24 verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked. Time and time again, we're reminded, don't have the wrong priorities or the wrong idea of what success is all about. The story is told of a farmer in the Midwest, and this farmer was not a religious man. In fact, he had a disdain for religion. He had a bad attitude about the people of God and the church and so forth. And it seemed like he was one of these men that the more he disdained God and took God's name in vain, the better things seemed to go for him. In fact, one October, he had one of the best crops of any of the farmers in the entire region. When the harvest was complete, he put an advertisement in a local paper that belittled Christians for their faith. And the advertisement said at the end of it, faith in God must not mean much if someone like me can prosper. Well, the response from the Christians in the community was very polite and patient. And yet in the next edition of the town paper, there was a real small ad that someone placed. And the small ad simply read, God doesn't always settle his accounts in October. You know, it may look like someone's had a great harvest or someone's doing so well, but the fact of the matter is that a lot of that, according to the Bible, is called wood, hay, and stubble. But what is done for the Lord out of a pure heart is gold, silver, and precious stones. And there are many people who would look at the Keck's lifetime serving the Lord in Papua New Guinea, and they would say, who would go serve people who cannot even read? What merit is there in leaving America to go live in huts like this and be surrounded by these environments? And yet the fact of the matter is, I believe with all of my heart that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, many who've had the trappings of success, many Christians, will stand far in the back of the line behind those who knew what mattered most. May we be reminded tonight not to be envious of the world's idea of success. May we be reminded tonight that we're not to desire or be envious or have covetousness of their idea of success. And then notice, secondly, not only are we warned here against the evil men of this world, but we're also warned against the evil ways of the world. The evil ways of the world. Notice what it says in verse 2. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Now, in a moment, we're going to study two words that are very important in the book of Proverbs. We're going to study the word knowledge and understanding. But I want you to take note in this verse number 2 of the word used here for the evil man, and that is the word studieth. And it means that the evil man muses. He meditates on how to live his life in evil fashion. This man has made a study of destructive ways, a study of ways that will ruin his home and his own testimony. I believe it really does matter what we study. I believe that many times people are the sum total of the friends they keep, the books they read, and the shows they watch on television. And many people who read the wrong material, watch the wrong material, they're with the wrong friends, their life is the result of that. Oftentimes we've said it this way, garbage in, garbage out, you see. But when the Word of God is in, then the fruit of the Christian life comes out. The Bible says in verse number 2, their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. They're always talking about what they're going to do at Vegas. They're always talking about the old lady instead of their wife that they've been blessed with. They're always saying curse words. They're always talking trash, if you will. Their lips are always about mischief and causing problems. Matthew 12 and verse 34 says it this way, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Think of that verse, please. Out of the abundance of the what? Heart, the what? Mouth speaketh. Why is it that some men that you work with and ladies too, and even 7 and 8 year olds in today's society, why is it that there is so much filth that pours out of people's mouths? Why is it that even so-called intellectual people, why is it even this past week, high-ranking officials in our government could not express themselves without curse words being placed on the front page of the newspapers? Why is that, that sometimes these words are uttered from mouths? It's simply stated in the Scripture, Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, if it's in the heart, it's going to come out. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so, husbands and wives, the Word of God is clear that we're to protect our testimony. We're to be very careful not to be with those who study destruction, whose lips are speaking mischief. And fellas, when you get around someone who's talking about mischievous things, whether it's going to the bar and carousing around, or whether it's some activity that doesn't sound right, you would do yourself, your family, your testimony, and most importantly, your God a big favor to just get away from those kinds of people. And if we're going to have the right kind of home, we're going to have to be very, very careful who we fellowship with and who we allow ourselves to be influenced by. And so there's a warning to the Christian homes right off the bat. But notice now, secondly, as we go to verse 3, the wisdom for the Christian homes. We've seen the wisdom of the world, so to speak, and the enviousness and the mischievousness of the world. But now we see in Proverbs the contrast. We've seen the admonition to stay away from the evil one. But look at verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Now, through wisdom the house is builded. Let me say first of all, wisdom always begins with Jesus. Wisdom always begins with Jesus Christ. Psalm 110 and verse 111 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's say that together. The fear of the Lord. Now watch this. As our society has taken the name of God out, as we are now seeing this pressure to acknowledge all gods are the same, the Wiccans, the Buddhists, the Christians, all of them, we're being told, are the same. And as the name of God is disrespected, as the name of Jesus especially is disrespected, and being removed from our society, listen very carefully, there's less and less wisdom in the streets. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When there is in someone's consciousness the fact that there is a God, that He manifested Himself on the cross of Calvary, and that He's coming again a second time, when that knowledge is in our hearts and minds, it affects the way that we live. We have a fear and a reverence and an awe for God. And the Bible teaches that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom always begins with a proper perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, I believe that begins for us at salvation. When we realize that there is a God who sent His only begotten Son, and that we can come to Him and trust Christ as our Savior, and we humble ourselves to Him, and we pray, and we're saved, that is the beginning of the fear of the Lord, the awe of the Lord in our hearts. Notice secondly, though, wisdom will come from above. Wisdom always begins with one's attitude towards God, and then wisdom comes to us from the Lord. Now look at James chapter 1 and verse 5, if you would. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. So, the Bible says, through wisdom is an house builded. If we're going to build a Christian home, it starts with our relationship, our attitude, our spirit towards the Lord. Secondly, we must come to the Lord and seek His wisdom and ask Him for His wisdom, and He will give it to us. Proverbs 2 and verse 6, the Lord giveth wisdom. God's wisdom is superior to man's manipulation, man's ways, man's ideas. James 3 and verse 17 says it this way, but the wisdom that is from above, that's the kind we ask for, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now just think of that for a moment. And I want you to read that verse again with me in a moment. As a parent, some of you as a boss or an employer. And I want you to read James 3:17 and just ask yourself if this is not the kind of wisdom that you need. As a law enforcement officer, whatever. James 3:17, think about it now. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. How many of you say, I could use a dose of that right there? Okay. That's why God says, you've got to have my wisdom. You're not going to build a home without my wisdom. You know, I've met many moms that I think are much wiser than the average attorney. They know how to deal out and they know how to measure out the right discipline without partiality, without hypocrisy. They've got to live, many of the moms in this room, as an acting attorney and as a nurse, and they've got so many hats that they're wearing, and fellas too. And we need the wisdom of God if we're going to build the right kind of home. And so we have in the first place a warning. And the warning that is given in the scriptures is that we are to avoid, we are to stay away from the evil man who studies destruction. And we are then given this challenge that there is the way of wisdom, and that it is only through God's wisdom that an house can be built. And this application goes in so many ways. How many of you would agree, for example, we need the wisdom of God when it comes to disciplining our children? I don't ever take that lightly, and we're through that phase now. But I have always said it's a good thing to send your children to the room. Number one, waiting is just real good for children. Amen. And then for a mom or a dad, before you decide what the discipline is, to go ahead and take some time in prayer. And you make sure that you get the mind of God in the matter. Because as a parent, you want to break the will of your child, but not the spirit of your child. And there have been times when that has been a fine balancing act. There's times when you're taking your stand with a teenager, and you're standing against a strong will, and you've got to be firm, you've got to be consistent. And yet the fact is, you don't want to break their spirit and completely bring them towards rebellion or discouragement or something else. And many parents are overly permissive, and many parents are overly authoritarian. And that's when we need the wisdom of God to get that thing balanced right in the middle. That's when we need to say, Lord, you said by wisdom a house is built. And my child has done this. Maybe your child has a poor grade. And yet the fact of the matter is, a parent needs wisdom. Is this because they were lazy and slovenly and rebellious and disobedient? Or is this because perhaps there was another problem or difficulty? Or is it a little bit of both? And then we measure out the response according to that. Moms and dads, we need to pray for wisdom in that matter. How about the matter of finances? Moms and dads, we need to pray in the matter of finances. It may be purchasing a refrigerator. You say, Pastor, you really think we ought to pray about that? Absolutely, yes. It may be in the matter of some other area of an investment. But the Bible commands us to have wisdom and to seek God's mind in those matters. And that comes through prayer. That comes through counsel. That comes through patience. But the Bible says in James 3:17, the wisdom that is from above, it is without partiality. It is without hypocrisy. So the warning is, if you're going to have a godly life, a godly family, you better stay away from the wrong crowd that's going to bring that wrong influence. And then the wisdom is that every one of us should walk in wisdom in our families. Notice now, thirdly, the way of a Christian home. Once I've got the right traveling partners, and once I've got my focus on the Lord for my wisdom, Now the direction is getting set. And notice what it says in verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded. And let's say this last phrase together. Ready to begin. And by understanding it is. All right, say it again. And by understanding it is. All right. So we're getting God's wisdom to build the family. We're building the family on Bible principles. We're praying for wisdom in decisions we make, in the discipline we give. And we're asking God for wisdom. And now, the Bible says in verse 3, by understanding it is established. We all know, you don't need the statistics tonight. The devil's shaking at every family he can. The devil's doing everything he can to blow down the families, if you will. But here the Bible says it's by this matter of understanding that the family is established. You see, once you build the home, that is, you've said the vows, maybe you've had some children. Boy, you're building that home by the wisdom of God. And thank God. And by the way, Kevin and Jennifer, where are you? Right over here, just back from their honeymoon. Stand up over here and let's welcome them just back from their honeymoon. Good to have them. And you can be seated. And this is the Knight family, and just newly married. Had their wedding here just a few days ago. And so now they're building their family. And they, by the way, if you really get down to the brass tacks, you start building a Christian home even before you get married. And I was so proud of Kevin when he stood in the back hallway there and said, Pastor, I just thought I'd tell you by God's grace that Jennifer and I will have our first kiss when we stand out on that platform tonight. Statistics say that people that are promiscuous before they're married are going to have a tougher challenge with it after they're married. And so here's a young couple, I think we could say, they're taking this thing seriously of having a good family. And they're doing what God would have them do. But now once they begin the building process, the devil's going to blow some storms their way. There's going to be some earthquakes that come. And so that's where in verse 3 it says, by understanding it is established. Now, those of you taking notes, understanding means this, responding with insight or exercising discernment. Responding with insight or exercising discernment. All right? And so this way that we're speaking about is letter A way of understanding. It is a way of understanding. And again, you must have the Lord in your life and, of course, the Holy Spirit of God to give you this understanding. Look in your notes. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the fact is, you go to work tomorrow and say, there's this sweet young couple in our church, just got back from their honeymoon. They'd never kissed until they got married. Listen to me. You'll have guys at work laugh at that. They'll laugh at that. Because the natural man doesn't understand the spiritual quest for purity or honoring God or whatever the case might be. Now, the fact is that the natural man does not have the understanding that comes from above. That begins with salvation. That continues on into the principles of the Word of God. And so tonight, we must have understanding if we're going to be established. It is a way of understanding. Notice, secondly, it is a way of guidance. The Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And so understanding and discernment is available for a Christian who follows the Word of God, who follows the Holy Spirit of God, and who seeks that wisdom that is from above. And it doesn't matter where you are in your marriage. There's some folks sitting here and you say, wow, I wasn't even saved when I started dating, and I didn't get saved till later on in marriage. But you know what? Thank God that you can get into the Word of God and you can get wisdom and understanding for your family today. And thank God for His grace that will set a direction for your life. No matter where you are seated in this auditorium tonight, you can have the right direction by the grace of God. So there's a warning. We start off with a warning. Be not envious of the evil men. Then we see the wisdom of the Christian family. That is, through wisdom is the house builded. And we get that wisdom from the Word of God and from prayer. And then we see the way of the Christian family. And that is simply found in this matter of understanding. We're going to find our way by biblical understanding and discernment. It is the practice of wisdom. That is the knowledge of knowing how to make decisions right. That's why I always encourage young married couples, don't get your counseling from another young married couple. Don't get your counseling from someone that is struggling in their marriage. And typically, that's how it is. One of the biggest troubles we've had in marital counseling in the last 10 years is people that get on the internet, they get into chat rooms, and that's why I say again tonight, I've never been on a chat room. I've seen too many marriages wrecked. I've seen young people literally leave the Antelope Valley and because of somebody they met on the internet and move to the other side of the country and have their life utterly ruined. You know why? There's no wisdom and understanding in those types of situations on the internet. And if you're having some problems in your marriage, go to the Lord, go to the Word of God, seek godly counseling, or go to somebody that's got 50 years of marriage and talk to someone who's been blessed and helped by the Lord. We're talking tonight about wisdom and understanding. We're not talking about get even or have it your way or do what you want to do. We're talking about God's will. Notice, if you would, then fourthly tonight, the witness of a Christian home. The witness of a Christian home. Verse number 4, please. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now let's read this verse together, shall we? Ready, begin. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now knowledge is understanding gained through experience or study. And all of us would say, I'll tell you what, I've made a lot of dumb mistakes in my family life, both as a husband, both as a parent. I mean, all of us would say, yeah, I didn't handle that exactly right. And how many of you are glad, again, for the grace of God, and that when you make those mistakes, it is a part of the school of learning, right? And God gives us knowledge through His Word in the positive way, and sometimes through things that we didn't handle just right, He gives us a second chance to do a little bit better. I heard about a young couple that was just celebrating their second anniversary, and the young fella ordered up some flowers for his wife on their second anniversary, and so he said to the lady on the other end of the phone, he said, just if you would put on their happy anniversary, year number 2. And so she said, all right, and sent the flowers to his wife. And she got the flowers, and the little memo said, happy anniversary, your number 2. Just a slight typo there. And he said, I learned to have them read back to me what I'm telling them on those little cards. You know, we make mistakes. Sometimes they're just simple, honest little mistakes. Sometimes they're maybe more willful and because we didn't pray. But God says He wants us to gain knowledge in the matter of the Christian home. Notice, first of all, biblical knowledge is gained. It's something that is gained. Here the word knowledge again means discernment, perception, using our wisdom. And it says, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled. Knowledge is not something that we just instantly attain. Knowledge is that which is given through experience in the Word of God and in life. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, you think about those in this world who have knowledge in a particular field. They instinctively know what to do. Whether it's a pilot who's flying an aircraft, you want to be on an aircraft with someone who's got knowledge about what to do if certain lights go off. Whether it's someone who's keeping you safe, you want someone who has knowledge in how to keep you safe. If it's in the medical profession, everyone in here wants someone who has some understanding, some experience. You want someone who has knowledge. And God says we need knowledge like that for our homes. We need to have biblical knowledge. Study to show thyself approved unto God. George Mueller said, now what is food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the Word of God, so that it only passes through our minds, just as water passes through a pipe, but considering what we read and pondering it and applying it to our hearts. And God, through this process, gives to us wisdom. Notice in James chapter 3 and verse 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now let's just stop right there. If you're having fighting in your home, and you're going to hold a grudge against your husband, or you're going to gunny sack something because you're mad at him, or you fellas are angry at your wives, or teenagers at their parents, whenever that's going on in your home, you mark it down, that is the wisdom from the devil. There is a devilish wisdom, and there is a heavenly wisdom. Remember a moment ago, the wisdom that is from above is peaceable, right? It's peaceable. It's pure. The wisdom that's from below, look at it in your notes. It descendeth not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's why, if I could just simply say this tonight, whether you're a married couple or whatever your family status, if there is a continuum of argumentation, divisiveness, and bickering in your home, do not let that continue. Make things right in your own heart with God. Get into the scriptures. Get a good book in the bookstore. Get some counseling. Do what has to be done. But please understand that when that's happening in the home, you're giving place to the devil. It's nothing to play with. There is not a person in this room who's going to walk into their living room at home tonight and go, look at that. There's a whole nest of Mojave Greens right here in our living room. Isn't that something? I've always liked reptiles. Sweetheart, let's just gather around and watch them, shall we? Get some popcorn. Let's watch these Mojave Greens. Because how many people have Mojave Greens in their house? This is special. There's not a sane person here who's going to see a family of Mojave Greens in their living room tonight and do anything other than get a shotgun and go kill them. Why do Christian couples bicker and fight and belittle and threaten divorce and demean one another and think that that's not dangerous? That is the poison that's going to destroy your family. Terry and I years ago said that if we ever needed counseling, that we would not let our position as a pastor and pastor's wife keep us from getting it. And after nearly 30 years of marriage, there's been a few times, and not deep waters, but a few times where we've gone to an older pastor and his wife and said, help us with this or that. We need some help with that. And I just simply want to say tonight, don't ever get to the place where you say, well, I'm a deacon or I've been in the church a long time. If you've got Mojave Green rattlesnakes in your marriage, I strongly encourage you, whatever it takes, you deal with that. Don't let that stay in your life. Notice verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated. How many of you would say, I'd like to live in that house, please? Right? Gentle, peaceable, easy to be entreated. I think it'd be a nice thing if you could say, hello, sweetheart. And if she said, hi, honey, how you doing? That's better than, hello, sweetheart, what do you want? What's wrong this time? And a lot of times it's just verbal judo the minute you walk in the door. But God says if it's right, it's going to be that good, good spirit. And so biblical knowledge is something that is gained. And notice, secondly, biblical knowledge is something that is expressed. It's something that is expressed or noticed. Now notice this, if you will, verse 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled. All right? This is something that's being gained. You're growing in knowledge. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we're gaining knowledge. But then it says in verse 4, with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, the context is telling us that a household that's growing in the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God, a marriage that's applying those principles, is a marriage where there is going to be a filling up of precious and pleasant riches. Not necessarily material riches, though. If God blesses you materially, praise Him for it, thank Him for it. But the primary context here is speaking about that peace. It's speaking about those eternal blessings that come from God. It's speaking about the intangibles that a lot of folks who have a lot of stuff wish they had, who wish they had just a happy day of marriage, who wish they had a child that said thank you, who wish they had a family reunion where they actually had peace with one another. Lord willing, later this month, or next month actually, we'll have some time as a family reunion. I hope to see my grandmother a little bit. And we have some weddings in the family. I'm just so glad that there's not one member of my extended family that I'm angry with or upset with, or that I've said I'll never speak to them again. I'm thankful that there's a peace there. The Bible tells us that if it is at all possible, we should live peaceable with all men. And I challenge you in your immediate family, even your extended family, even those that think you're nuts to be a Baptist. Anybody have a relative like that? Even those that think you're absolutely nutty to give money to a church. Even those that are anything but friendly to you. I just challenge you to have a pure heart towards them. Just love them and have wisdom and knowledge in the way you treat them. Because biblical knowledge is always expressed. It's going to fill the chambers of your house. Watch this. You have a mom and a dad who have biblical knowledge and wisdom. They're growing in understanding. The home is going to be a happier place. It's not one of these deals where you go in and you shut the door and the teenager's just in there with their own phone and their own television and they never come out. You have to put food underneath the door like prison. There are families that kind of live that way. I'm not trying to meddle tonight, but it's not God's will for a married couple. You have your room, I have my room. See you later. No, no. God intended for family to be together. Together in Christ, together in the Spirit, loving one another. Charles Spurgeon said something, and when I read this, I thought, boy, I'll tell you what, he may have preached in the 1800s, but this still preaches now, all these years later. He said, I venture to say that the bulk of Christians spend more time in reading the newspaper than they do in reading the Word of God. Now, they didn't have TV back then. How many of you think if Spurgeon would have been preaching today, he would have said TV right there, amen? What's the point? You don't go home just to watch TV. You don't go home and say, Pastor, but what if television had only good shows? You know, every single show was Little House on the Prairie and Leave It to Beaver. Pastor, would you still preach against television? Yes. If all you did was watch Leave It to Beaver and Little House on the Prairie, and you never opened the Word of God, and you never read to your children, and you never talked to your spouse about the day, then television could be a sin even then. Because God has commanded us to dwell with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And when we have these and we're practicing the knowledge of God, then the chambers, the rooms are filled with the odor of joy that comes from above. Biblical knowledge will always be expressed in that way. And so here it is tonight, just a quick snapshot of a portrait, if you will, of a family life that is pleasing to the Lord. Let's review it and then we'll be done. First, there was a warning. Don't be envious of evil men. Hey, you may have less. There are several men in this room right here who have passed up promotions to Washington, D.C. and every place else. They've passed up an extra $22,000 a year for this simple reason. My family is where we need to be in this church. Our marriage is where it needs to be, and that means more to me than $22,000 more. Now, that may not be how the Lord leads you, but I highly respect men and women who put their walk with God at the forefront. There are several families in this room here tonight who have moved to this church. I have to give you a little hint. Not because Lancaster has the most beautiful topography in America, but because they have prayerfully discerned that this would be a place that would help them to walk more closely with God. And that is what matters most to them. And so we heed this warning. Don't be envious of the guy that just got the big whatever. Because the guy with the big whatever promotion may right now be losing some very important things like family. May not even know the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellas and gals, be very, very careful to maintain an eternal perspective on what matters most. That's the warning. Don't be envious of the evildoers. Secondly, we are to walk in wisdom, the wisdom of the Christian family, and that begins with Jesus. That begins with knowing Jesus. That begins with seeking His wisdom from above. And then the way of the Christian family is established with understanding. And it's an amazing thing how many young people, young couples, do not seek the way of God. They do not have understanding. Many times they'll come into my office, not to get counsel, but to try to get me to agree with what they're about to do. And if you want biblical understanding, look at, if you want somebody to agree with you, you just keep asking and asking and asking, and finally, you'll get somebody to agree with you. But the fact is that if you want biblical understanding, you better come down to the brass tacks of saying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And then the witness of this Christian family, this one growing in wisdom and knowledge, is that their home is going to be filled with peace. Someone might say, well, Pastor, my home's not that way right now. All right, here it is. Let it begin with you. Husbands, stop saying, if my wife would treat me like you're talking about, things would sure be a lot better. No. Put the focus on yourself. You are the one commanded in 1 Peter 3 to walk in wisdom as a husband and as a wife, to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Husbands, let's say, God, give me the knowledge I need to understand my wife and my family. And wives, give me the knowledge. And single moms and single dads, for our children, so that it's not an argument all the time, but so that our chambers, our bedrooms, our home is filled up with the pleasantness that God intends the home to be. I don't know about you, there's so much junk in the world. It really helps to have a home where you can come in and know that people in there like you. I don't know about you, but it's really nice to come to church and just see some smiling faces, not have to hear a bunch of gossip or junk, and just be able to be encouraged in the Lord. Amen? God wants us to have enough wisdom to keep it that way in our homes, in our lives, and in our church.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.